Our Father, in the name of Jesus. Let's say together,
Our Father.
We ask and we receive revelation knowledge that is found in the written word. We behold Christ as He sees us in Him. He is glorified and we are edified. We receive clarity from your word. And we walk with the instruction that is in the written word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you with your Bibles? Turn with me to Matthew 28. Somebody will have said, Pastor Smart, you have gone to 24. 28. Hallelujah. We are still in Matthew 28. You've been looking at Matthew 28. This is the fourth or fifth month, right? We've just been there. Just there. Don't worry. Glory to God. There's no graduation. Glory to God. Okay. I was reading something from online for a pastor's friend of mine, Pastor Tucci, and he said something like, the training of the spirit, I just want to say this as we go ahead, the training of the spirit, it's our training, hallelujah. So you don't get to, there's no easy way out. Let me put this that way. There's no easy way out. It's going to be tedious. It's going to be boring. But you know what? We're going to be dug and staying in there. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority had been given to me in heaven and on earth. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He said, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Hallelujah. So, let's take it all. It says, verse 18. It says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Hallelujah. Very important. You know, we've been talking about heaven and on earth. It's not, remember we said, when you hear the word heaven and earth, it's not referring to two locations, right? Right? Yeah. Hallelujah. No, it's not two locations. When you hear heaven and earth, it refers to what, remember we said it's a Moses language, right? It's a Moses language, a heaven and earth. It implies the indwelling of the spirit in man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what we said. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when you hear heaven and earth, it means God and man in one place. Hallelujah. That's heaven and earth. Glory to God. So I say all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. It means, remember I said it is Moses' language. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if we read Genesis chapter 1, it said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So it's Moses' language. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Glory to God. So we said, or we've always said in the past few months, that when you hear the word heaven and earth, it means God and man in the same place. So meaning God's plan from the beginning is the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. That's God's plan. Hallelujah. Amen. We're discussing today on the topic how to prepare and flow in a believer's meeting. How to prepare and how to flow in a believer's meeting. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, it's very important. Say God's plan from the beginning is the indwelling of the Spirit. So, from Genesis chapter 1, what Moses began to write about is God is going to indwell man. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So heaven and earth simply mean God in man. And when Moses wanted to explain it further to them because of their unbelief, to what he has told them that God will indwell man from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, verse 2,
You know, verse 1 is God's plan. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? Then verse 2 now said the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. It tells you the what the heart of man, right? We've said that over and over again. Hallelujah. It tells you the heart of man, that man's heart was what? When it says darkness was upon the face of the deep, it shows that man was unbelieving. Hallelujah. So when he said darkness, the earth was without form and void, was describing man. Hallelujah. Are you with me?
Yes, sir. Who does that?
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it's describing man. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And we know from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it's describing man, the heart, the state of man. Then in verse 26 again, he pointed and said, let us make man in our image. Also pointing us to the fact that what man in his image is still referring to what the indwelling, his plan for man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man should be in his image. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Moses will now, in explaining further to them due to their unbelief, we say Moses will now give them the what? The tabernacle. Right? So the tabernacle is a figure for what? Heaven and earth. Did you get that? The tabernacle, the temple that Moses gave to them because of their unbelief, was a figure to show them that what heaven and earth is going to be in one place. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In the same place. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, if you come back to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, now said, and he came and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Remember, heaven and earth implies God in man. So that authority is God in man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That authority is what? The indwelling of the Spirit. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Then he tells them, go and make disciples. Do you get that? He has just told them, all authority has been given to me, therefore go. Now, listen, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, which is what? In the recreated man, right?
Yes,
right? In a man who is born again. I said, therefore, go make disciples. What does it mean when he said, go make disciples? It means to go make students of this accomplishment that God is in man. Did you get that? Let me put it well. He said, go make students of this accomplishment of God in man. Better off put. Hallelujah. So when he told them, go make, or when he says, go make disciples of all nations, he's telling them, go make students of this accomplishment. Which accomplishment? That God is in man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. So we make disciples. That is to say, we'll bring, hallelujah. So a man who believes, hallelujah, a man who believes, the Spirit of God dwells in him. Hallelujah. Say, go make students of this accomplishment. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, he said, go make students of this accomplishment. This is the reason he will now tell them, teaching those students to observe that what he is in them. Did you get that? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you get that? Did you get that? So that's the reason why what the disciples will learn is what? Behold, I'm with you always. See, I'm with you always. Did you get that? And teach them to observe all things that I've commanded that. Lo, I'm with you always. So it is making disciples of that accomplishment of Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So therefore, the process of discipleship will start with first receiving Christ. If that person is not yet born again, that is the process. No, we have that teaching in our discipleship seminar. Hallelujah. We have that, right? That is where discipleship starts. If that one is not born again, right? You lead him. Hallelujah. You lead him by teaching him the gospel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 2. In Acts of Apostles chapter 2, from verse 17 to 38, when Peter was done teaching and preaching Christ, they asked him, men and brethren, what should we do? Then he led them, hallelujah, and they believed the message. In verse 42, what did the Bible call them? Look at Acts 2:42.
I'll start from verse 41. And those who gladly received his word were baptized, and in that the 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Did you see? They continued. So, meaning the moment they got saved, they continued. Did you hear that? Discipleship continues. Did you hear that? So, the point where discipleship starts is when the man believes, when the man gets born again. For those who are not born again, take note of that clause. That doesn't mean, but you must be born again. What if the person's already believing? He's already a believer, rather. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Matthew 28. Now, in verse 19, Matthew 28:19, he says, "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." Now, remember, we've spoken about this. If you can get that message on explaining baptism. Hallelujah. He's not talking about water baptism yet. It's not water baptism. He says, "Baptize in the name of the Father, bring the hair out of the Son, the Holy Ghost." No, that's not what it means.
Hallelujah.
That's not what it means. We've explained it, right? When you hear the name of the Father, this is the only time this is used in the scriptures together. The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. This is the only time you have it used together. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. The other place you find it, I know it will be in John's epistle, but it was actually not in the original. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it is not used again. And if you read other accounts that speak about the same thing, say go baptize them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you hear that? So it's the name of Jesus. Now it's not an baptism, it's not water baptism. If you look at the book of Acts, where Peter and Paul, after calling, they were calling to baptize in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Baptize in the name of the Lord, which is, it implies the shorthand for to believe. Hallelujah. To receive the gospel. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now, he says, go make disciples. Say, baptizing them, which is what? Leading them to becoming saved. Right? Verse 20. Then he said, teaching them to observe. Teaching them to observe. Didasco. Teaching them to observe. So very vital. Disciples are raised via teaching. Never forget that. Even if you forget anything, disciples are raised via teaching. Do you hear me? Disciples are raised via teaching. Not via storytelling. Not via bazaar. Not via attending discipleship class. Hallelujah. It's the attitude. I know why I said that. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Teaching. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, what are they teaching? That word teaching is the word to instruct in the Greek. It's the word didasco in Greek. To instruct. So, teaching them to observe. Now, teaching them to observe, it implies the things, listen, it implies the things of the spirit, but yet teaching them to observe. That word observe is the word terio. Terio. It means to keep watch over. Do you understand me? Terio means to keep watch over. The way you look at something in such a way that if you blink your eyes, it's going to disappear. So the way you look at something closely, keenly, you're not blinking your eyes. Hallelujah. You're just looking at it like this. Hallelujah. You're watching it. He says, teaching them to observe. Meaning, listen. Meaning in discipleship, two things are paramount. Or in the things of the spirit, Or let me put it like this: the things of the spirit are thoughts and are cults. Did you get that? The things of the spirit are thoughts and are cults. Meaning in discipleship, you are taught, listen, you are taught to observe. So two things are paramount in discipleship. You are taught the word, and then you learn by teaching and by practice. Do you get that? You learn by teaching and practice in the church. Do you get that? You learn by teaching and practice.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. So the things of the spirit, as I said, are taught and are practiced, right? So they are learned via precept and examples, taught and taught, taught and practiced. Hallelujah. By examples. So where is this achieved? The local church. The local church. The gathering of believers. Like we are. It is the gathering of the believers that you are taught the word. So the local church is the training place for disciples. I wrote that down. The local church is God's idea for believers. It's God's ideal idea for believers. Hallelujah. Do you get that? It's God's idea. Or it's God's instruction for believers. Hallelujah. The local church. Is the place where we are trained. You don't joke with that. It's a place where we are trained, where we are disciples. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So why do we have a local church? Why do we gather? The next question. Why do we gather together? Why do we have a local church? First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17, quickly. 1 Corinthians 10:17. It says, sorry, 1 Corinthians 11:17. It says, now in giving these the instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better but for the worse. You see, Paul is actually correcting them. For their coming together was for the worse, instead of to be for the better. Do you get that? So they're supposed to come together for the better. But their coming together was for the worse. We'll get to see that when during GPLR. Hallelujah. When we'll be discussing along that line, communion service. We're discussing communion service. Why don't we do communion service? You'll get to know. Hallelujah. Communion table. Glory to God. So we'll discuss along this line. Hallelujah. Now, Paul will write to the church at Corinth and told them that their coming together was not for the better. Do you understand me? Listen, let me put it well. He will tell them that their coming together was for the worse instead of to be for the better. Do you get that? Meaning our coming together as believers is for the better. That word better is to get improved upon. So our coming together is to get us improved upon. When believers gather, it's to the end that they are improved. They get better. Do you get that? Hallelujah. When we come together, it's to the end that we are better. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. And why Paul will write to them like this is because when they come together to share food, those who have oppress those who don't have. Hallelujah. So Paul was like, that's not good. That's not good enough. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. That's not good enough. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. He says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Verse 24. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good work. He said, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good work. So not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as many, as it is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so by the more as you see the day approaching. He states in verse 24 and 25, our coming together is to what stir us up for love and good work. Our coming together is to stir us up. Is to stir us up for good works. Old King James said to provoke us to good works. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Romans chapter 1, verse 11. Paul is teaching. He says, for I long to see you. Very important. So that means our coming together is important. Never see believers gathering anyhow we'll get there. Our coming together is important. Paul said, look at Paul. He said, for I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, that you may be established. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So our coming together is to the end that we are well equipped. Our coming together is to the end that we are well equipped and being ministered to, or being parted. Hallelujah. Our coming together is a Paul say, I long to see. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. Why do believers gather? You see, any church, any minister that downplays gathering of believers does not understand scriptures. When you begin to have Facebook church, somebody has met me one time and said, man of God, a respected woman of God, he said, do you know? And it was a very nice advice, but it was not something I could take. He said, do you know that no auditorium can house 2 million people? It's making sense in the woman's perspective. He said, no auditorium can house, how should you go for this? I don't want to call the person to me. Can house 20 to 30 million people. That's about the man of God. He said, do you know that you can have 20 million people over the internet listening to you on the go in a live service? It's a service. You're having a church service and they're in the comfort of their bed, just lying down and listening to the word of God. The word of God is coming to them. You just carry your iPad or your tablet. That is Korofeniku or Korokuin. Just how you carry this, your tablet, and you are watching the word of God on the go. It's even sense, right? Eh? But never downplay physical gathering. Hallelujah. May I never get to that point in ministry which I will never. And I'll begin to downplay physical gatherings. No. You hear Paul say, I will send Timothy to you. Very important. Physical gatherings. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Never get to that point where you would be on your bed and say, I'm not going to, why don't the church know? I'll watch it online. Hallelujah. The word of God comes to me in the comfort of my room. This is gospel. This is message. No. That is not message. Sorry to say. Hallelujah.
Just feel this back. Just feel this back. Pastor Shem will always talk to us about the church in China. A few days back, he shared something with us concerning China, the church in China. You know, that video till today, I shared it on our platform, right? Right? Rob Benjamin, did I? When you'll be buying only 10 MB.
Just to post, I preach.
I know that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. I posted a church in China. How they would. They don't meet in physical places. You know, they don't allow church gardens. They meet inside caves. Caves. In fact, caves that are 120 degrees hot. Not. You are still receiving this, and they will sit down and they will learn for 12-15 hours. That is their church service. Church service. I was watching the video. I almost busted to say, I said, I was hearing this as the one of the year. Let us see me. And one of the pastors that actually spoke said he went there and they told him to preach for them. To preach to them. He said, what should I preach? He said, preach everything. They preach everything. They don't allow them to carry Bibles. So he said as he was, he told them to open to 1 Peter. And he gave one a sister the Bible. The sister carried it and gave to somebody else. So while he read Peter, the lady was quoting it. So at the end of the meeting, I observed that you were quoting Peter. I said, yes. She don't allow them to carry Bible. So she has to memorize it. And you want to sit down on the comfort of your bed and say the scripture is coming to me. Somebody memo, and you are going to the same heaven, though. No, you are going to the same heaven. She memorized it. In fact, if you are caught with a Bible, you will be jailed. The minister said, he asked them, what if I'm caught? He said, if you are caught, they will deport you back to Nigeria. I mean, if I say Nigeria, I like Nigeria. You'll be deported, but me will be in prison for 3 years. She learned to quote scriptures because it was smuggled into the prison to give to them when they are caught. And we are all going to the same heaven. Hallelujah. When I saw that, I was like, Some people quote one verse. Fact, you know, I'm not a preacher. That's what you begin to see. Ask this, where should I teach? We say, teach the whole Bible. Teach the whole Bible. And he said, no, I'm a New Testament pastor. Stay there. We teach up. Hallelujah. Well, and they meet. In fact, let me tell you people a story that Pastor Sherry told us kind of go to the last year. He said, they discovered that whenever they meet a church, a gathering, and the people that organize that actually head these churches are youth, like you and I. Now, they organized whenever they have meetings, they discovered that government officials will always come to catch them. Do you understand? When they fix a meeting to have a meeting, inside caves, they'll come and catch them. So they'll say, okay, there's a mole amongst us. There's a mole amongst us. Somebody is actually... Do you understand? They'll say, okay, after they were done with meeting, they'll say, okay, our next meeting, we're not going to communicate it. You will know by yourself. Hallelujah. You will just know. Listen, you know, by the Spirit, you should know. Did you get that? And everybody dispersed. No time for the next meeting. But on the day of the next meeting, everybody changed. Apart from the one person that was in the room. Because he is in the flesh, he can't know. Did you get that? And we are all going to see him. Did you pray? I did not. Brother Ike did not send the prayer for that for God. Did you see us?
Say speak in tongues. We are praying for 1 hour. Your own praying for 1 hour is on top of the bed.
Oh, gaba do do do. Ah, da da da.
Yeah, I cannot pray. I cannot come to meeting and the place is too hot. Hot. 120 degrees. What is your own degree? 30 something, and you are saying it's hot. We'll go on missionary to China. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So we come together to get imparted on, to get better. 1 Corinthians 14 26. I'm going to be fast now. 1 Corinthians 14 26. It says, how is it then, brother, when you come together, each of you has the psalms, the teaching, has the tongue, has the revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. Our coming together is to the end that we are edified. Edified. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm thinking, since we are done with, we've done 1 Corinthians last year, if we were repeating another verse, book, I'm thinking of next 2 or 3 years should be Ephesians. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It says, and himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine and the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You can read down to verse 16. He says, in the body, he said, he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, right? Now, he says, that is the body of Christ. Hallelujah. He says, it is for what? Spiritual growth, verse 14. See, we no longer be children. So, spiritual growth is in view. Hallelujah. Spiritual growth in the, that means spirit is for spiritual growth. So, our coming together is for spiritual growth. With what? Ministry in view, verse 16. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we can say now, listen, we can say that spiritual growth cannot be achieved outside the local church. I make bold to say it. You can never see spiritual growth cannot be achieved outside the local church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the local church, it's God's. Okay, let me put it like this. The local church is the ground for spiritual growth, as in it, the place where we are taught, is the training ground for believers. The local church, the local church is the training ground for believers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where you are taught to sound teaching. What kind of meetings do we have in the local church? What kind of meetings do we have in the local church? We have the teaching meetings. Matthew 28:18-20. He said, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always. Now he said, teaching them. So teaching meeting is the primary meeting of believers. Teaching meeting is the primary meeting of believers. Matthew 28:20. It is the major meeting of the local church. See, listen, the local church is a place where you are taught. You attend a local church where you have SMS, not the local church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not the local church at all. Hallelujah. Not SMS, not such short message summary. No. You have taught the word. It is the classroom meeting of believers. It is the classroom meeting of believers.
You can call the teaching meeting the classroom meeting of believers that begs other meetings.
It's the classroom meeting of believers that begs other meetings. In a teaching meeting, one, you have a didaskalos,
which is a teacher. One is teaching, the others are receiving, the others are learning. You understand? A teacher.
Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, we see Jesus. Matthew 4, 23. We see Jesus. He went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease amongst the people. We find Jesus teaching. Hallelujah. In Matthew 9, verse 35, we see him also. Matthew 9, 35. Says, and Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease amongst the people. In chapter 11, verse 1, you'll find him also. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his disciples, he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. You find him also in Matthew chapter 21, verse 23, and find him in Matthew 26, verse 55. Matthew 26, 55. Jesus was not found. When they came to arrest him, look at what he said to them, verse 55. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now he said, and all this was done that the scripture might be. Verse 55, sorry. He says, and in that hour Jesus said to the multitude, have you come out as against a robber with sword and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. Hallelujah. So that means Jesus taught them what? He taught daily, right? Hallelujah. And he taught more than he did miracles. He taught more than he did miracles. He said, I sat daily to teach. Hallelujah. So Jesus gave instructions for disciples to be raised via teaching. And we'll find in Acts of Apostles chapter 5. Acts of Apostles chapter 5, you have to be fast now, verses 23 to 25, we'll find out that the apostles still were teaching, and they had to warn them not to teach in the name again. Then it said, verse chapter 5, verse what? Let me just take verse 25. So one came and told them, say, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So they were teaching the people. They were found teaching. In verse 42, it says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they do not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. What is their topic? What is their sermon? What is their mode of teaching Christ? Jesus as the Christ. Hallelujah. So they did not stop preaching and teaching. In fact, history has it that after they are done with the local church like this, after they are done with the gathering, the apostles will still go to them house by house. After service, they are done 2 hours hearing the word, 3 hours hearing the word, now teaching seminars, 6 hours after they are done. And they're getting home, trying to eat the rice and stew Sunday. And you're getting enough coffee. Who is there? This is Apostle Peter. I've come to share the word with you again. Let's go here. Hallelujah. This is Apostle Peter. That's what happened. That's what history has it. And you are seeing your cell leader coming. You're going like, he will see me now. He will start asking that this Sunday to me. Hallelujah. It was intense. They thought in the gathering, I'm from house to house. After someone is like this, everybody's gone. They will still go to house to house. So,
Benjamin, I need your Bible. Let me share something with you.
You are just trying to put the right at his shoulder. Say, Lord, let's have a word. Hallelujah. Sister, let's have a word. Hallelujah. Very important. Hallelujah. They preached in every house. In Acts of Apostles chapter 15 verse 35, Paul and Barnabas were found preaching and teaching. In Acts 18 verse 11, Paul in Corinth, Paul taught them for 1.5 years. He taught there for 1.5 years. In chapter 19 verse 10, he taught for 2 years. Chapter 19 of Acts, verse 10. He taught them for 2 years. Those 12 guys in verse 7. In verse 7. Remember them? In verse 2 to 3, they were the ones that said they were baptized. They don't know if there is any Holy Ghost. Then there were 12 in number in verse 7. In verse 10, Paul taught them for what? 2 years. Now, in chapter 20 of Acts, verse 17, those guys have now grown to becoming what? Elders. Teaching brings spiritual growth. Hallelujah. They are now elders, meaning they are now in charge. Hallelujah. Of the local church in Ephesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So teaching is to the end that what will grow spiritually to handle responsibilities. Glory to God. In that chapter 20 of Acts, verses 31, verse 21st, Paul taught them publicly and from house to house. Similar thing you find where? Acts of Apostles chapter 5 verse 42. Taught from house to house. Look at verse 31. He said, therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I do not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. He taught them how long? 3 years. 3 good years teaching them. Morning and night. History also has it that before they go to work, they will hear message. You will teach them. I thought they are back from work. As they are coming back from work, they are going to church. Hear message. Word or nothing. Hallelujah. You are singing, give me the words. Make it plain and clear to me. Listen to Ben and the branch. You forgot. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Publicly and from house to house. 3 years. Intense. Yeah, Pastor, I have been teaching. How long I've been in ministry? I've been in ministry for years. I've been teaching. But now, let me just include worship. Let's do more of choreography. You know, thought for 30 hours. Now I want to be doing 20 minutes, short sermon, because I've ministered on my message. Can you say? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Keep preaching. Like I saw someone, I said, sir, I'm going to post that conversation online. He says, sir, I've finished the Bible. I said, yes. Finish it again. Finish it again. And again. And again. You finish the Bible, I should go and cut a tree for you. Finish it again. You see, the Bible is not a novel where you say, I've dusted it. No. Once you're done dusting, open it again. It is not novel. You are supposed to finish it. If I want to finish it always and always. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't worry. Next year we are going to together as a ministry finish the whole Bible. We'll read the Bible together. I'm planning that. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
We'll read the Bible together. And we'll read it together. Not reading it. We read it together as a church. We read it together. I'm reading from Genesis to Revelation. not read at home. No, we'll read together. How we'll read together, don't worry. Genesis chapter, I want you to say January 1st, you will know. I don't say Genesis. January 1st, 2020, you will know. As soon as we are done with workers' convention, I'll tell you.
Yeah, so we start our first reading together.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And everyone will participate. Everyone will. Everybody will participate. Glory to God. Okay. Where are we? So in the epistles, we have instructions to teach also. 2 Timothy 2:2. He said, the words which you heard from me amongst many brothers, the same commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So teaching is important. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Teaching is important in the local church. In chapter 4, verse 2 of 2 Timothy, Paul will now instruct Timothy to do what? To preach. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 4 verse 2 says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Very important. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have instructions to teach. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the teaching meeting is the classroom. Is the major meeting of a church. Of the local church, the teaching meeting. Not bazaar. Not children's service. Not adult service. No. Being a Sunday school teacher, observe that where you find many children is when it's time for harvest. Everybody wants to come and eat rice. Hallelujah. No, it's not.
The church is not where you come to eat rice.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come to hear the word of God. You say, my best part in the church is during Thanksgiving. Hey! That's the best part. Look at your life. You go to Komole inside church. I heard what? There was something that a man of God said years back that blessed my heart. He said, if you go to the disco party, they go down. You come to the church, you are going down. But that day, I stopped doing that. Let's do
it. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, we have another meeting called the prayer meeting. The prayer meeting is a practical class. It's a fallout of the teaching meeting. Because part of what you will teach is prayer. You understand? You teach prayer. So, the prayer meeting is a practical meeting where we gather together to pray. And in prayer meeting, one person leads. One person leads. The prayer meeting. Everybody prays, right? Jesus was found praying in Mark 1:35, Mark 6:46. Mark 1:35, Mark 6:46. Luke 3:21, Jesus was found praying on his way to be baptized. In Luke 6:12, he prayed all night. Luke 6:12, he prayed all night. Luke 9:28. Let's quickly look at Luke 9:28 quickly. There's something I want to just point out there, and when we discuss on prayer, we will get to see it soon. Hallelujah. Luke 9:28. Verse 29. Just look at 2:29. He took Peter, John, and James with him and went up to the mountain to pray. Verse 29. And as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. Now that shows you that when a man prays, or you put it like this, prayer changes a man. I might be praying, that is very important. It's very important. Even if I'm praying for something else, even if I'm praying for someone, for that nation, for the work of ministry, for, do you understand me? One thing you must note is that praying changes you. It changes you. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Even if you are praying for everything, you are changed. As in, it changes you. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll find the apostles too praying. The first thing, activity we'll find them together doing in Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 14 is that they were found together in one accord praying. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We'll find them praying. In Acts chapter 3 verse 1, they had times for prayer. The hour of prayer, they had fixed time to pray. So prayer meeting is very important in the local church also. You have time to pray. Like in one of the palace, we have time to pray. We pray in the morning hours from 5 to 6, right? And then each and every one of us have a prayer group, right? Right? There we what? Where we pray. Prayer group per day, where we pray. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Acts 29 to 31, when they were threatened, they came to their own and they prayed. Hallelujah. In Acts 6, verse 6, when they needed people to serve table, Acts 13, verse 1 to 3, when it's time to take decisions in ministry, they relied on praying power. You don't take decisions in ministry outside praying power. You must not take decisions by strategy. Ministry is not run by strategy. It's not run by my idea. No. It must be vetted by the Spirit. So before they took decisions, like Jesus did, before he chose his disciples, he prayed. So the same way too, before they chose even people to serve tables, they prayed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Colossians chapter 3 verse 1, we have instructions to pray. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I mean Colossians 4:2, it says continue earnestly in prayer. Ephesians 6:18, praying always. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. So we have instructions to pray. We have instructions to pray. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have evangelistical meetings. Evangelistical meetings are meetings where we all go out to preach Christ. We all go out together to preach Christ. Or we all go out to preach Christ. Evangelistical meetings is also a fallout of what? Teaching meeting. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus sends his disciples out to preach. In Mark 16, say, go ye therefore and make disciples. Go ye therefore and preach to all nations. Hallelujah. Mark 16:15-16. We have such kind of meetings where we have time to go and what? Win souls. Go out to have evangelistic meetings. We preach to people. We do that. We've been having that on Saturdays, right? 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 Okay. Eh? This Saturday, right? By 12, this Saturday, we're having this week, right? Pastor Rizal. This Saturday by 12, as we are here like this, together as I can see your face, as lovely as your face is, let it not be omitted. Let it not be missing. This Saturday by 12 noon. From there, you come here for School of the Word. Don't give yourself an excuse. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have healing meetings. Healing meetings are meetings where we minister to the sick. Both those who are, when we minister to the sick, let's start from there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, healing meetings sometimes will happen in the teaching meetings. Sometimes it will happen in the evangelistical meetings. Do you understand me? Verse in Matthew 4:23, when Jesus went in all the cities of Galilee, in all Galilee to preach, I mean to teach, and he healed. Do you understand? So he healed the sick too. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 10, verse, when Jesus sent them out to preach, he told them to heal the sick. So meaning it, healing can happen during evangelical meetings. When you go out to preach the gospel to someone and the person is on the sick bed, you heal the person. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't go and preach to somebody who is sick and you do not minister to them. Do you understand me? In fact, if you get to a family, a household, and you want to preach sometimes, in part of some things that we will teach as we approach GPLR, if you get to a household and the person is sick, or you get to a house, so you can demand who is sick in this house. As a spirit, who is sick, who is healing in the body. Then as you lay hands on the person, lay hands on the person, and the person is healed, it will not be, okay, we've not thought of greater glory, but we also look at it. Hallelujah. You will now, once the person is healed, you will now, listen, healing points to the message of Christ. Hallelujah. Healing or miracles are signs. Healing is a sign. Watch all Jesus' healing meetings. He does not just tell them you are healed, or you are good, but no. Watch what he says afterwards. Sometimes you hear, go and sin no more. Hallelujah. When you hear, go and sin no more, it is a fact of the gospel. Do you hear that?
Yes, sir.
Go and sin no more. It's a fact of the gospel. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you hear? Your faith has made you well. Those are fact of the gospel. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when you are on evangelism and someone is sick, you lay hands on the person, get the person healed, and then he will now preach Christ from that standpoint. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Because when something like that happens, when somebody who is sick gets healed, you see people come, he's healed, as they come to you, I don't tell them, I'm a man of God. You know, I'm a man of God. No, don't be like me years back, I did something like that, years back. Look at me, years back. People gathered. They just say, sick is he. And just went away. No. Hallelujah. Preach Christ. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at Paul in Acts 14, verse 9. Bible says Paul perceived. He was teaching and he perceived that someone had faith to be healed. Acts 14:9. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Now we have what we call believers' meetings. We have believers' meetings. What is a believers' meeting? The believers' meeting, or, I told her that I want to differentiate those two, but I thought I would be able to do that, but I didn't. Hallelujah. But a believers' meeting or Holy Ghost meeting. That word, Holy Ghost meeting, coined by Kenneth Hagin. Hallelujah. Is a believer's meeting or let me put it like this. Is, if you look at other meetings, where we are, is either one person is leading, right? Or somebody is leading the team. But in believer's meeting, we'll call it is a believer's town hall meeting. Holy Ghost meeting is the believer's town hall meeting, like a town hall meeting where everybody, there is no disparity. Hallelujah. where we all come together to minister one to another. That is the Holy Ghost. We come together and we minister one to another. We minister one to another. We are all full of the Holy Ghost. And we live through the door. Rejoicing. Through the door.
We live rejoicing. Hallelujah.
Holy Ghost meeting. In a Holy Ghost or believers meeting, we all participate. We all participate. Everyone has something to give and receive. Everyone. In a Holy Ghost meeting. It's not pastor's meeting. No. It is Holy Ghost meeting. Believer's meeting. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
In a believer's meeting, we are all in one accord. We are all in one accord. One accord implies we are in one place doing the same thing. We are doing the same thing. We are in one place doing the same thing. Look at Acts 2, verses 1 to 3. Acts 2, 1 to 3. And the day of Pentecost has fully come. They were all in one accord in one place. Did you see? In one place, in one accord, in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and sat on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Was it some of them that was speaking in tongues, and some were dancing, and some were laughing? No, they were all doing the same thing. They were all speaking with tongues. Did you get me? Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Luke chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Let's go back a bit. Let's backtrack a bit. Verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders have said. So when they heard this, they raised their voice to God in what? One accord, and said, Lord. They raised their voice in one accord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So in believers' meeting, we are in one accord. When everybody is going down, you're going down. Well, I mean, if everybody is kneeling, you are kneeling. If hands are raised, we are all speaking in tongues, you are speaking in tongues. We are all participating. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We'll discuss that in details next week when we begin to discuss about the flows, how to flow with the Spirit, how to flow in the diversity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We'll discuss that in details. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, verse 26. No, Paul was describing a believer's meeting in 1 Corinthians 14. In verse 26, he says, we do all things for edification, right? So in believer's meeting, we come together to get edified. To get edified. We come together to get edified. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
How do I prepare for a believer's meeting? How do I prepare? How do I prepare before attending a believer's meeting? What should I do? You know, we're having this is that convention in January, first week of January. And just by next week, we'll be having Saint Community Church. We'll be having a believer's convention, which we are all supposed to be part of. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. So, you know, we also know how to get prepared for such meetings. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Look at what Paul says. how to prepare for believers' meeting. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual. Now that word gift is italicized, that means it's not in the original. Now it says, pursue love and desire. He uses the word pursue love. Let me not turn this class to Greek class. If I advance my talk. Say, okay, let me take it for and desire spiritual. I say, kai zelo pneumatikos. Now, it means desire spiritual. Now, that word zelo is the word for desire. Desire spiritual. Now, remember, he's about to talk to them about believers' Holy Ghost meetings. About spiritual. He has been discussing spiritual from chapter 12. Chapter 12. It says, now concerning spiritual also. Concerning spiritual, gift also is italicized. And I say, concerning spiritual, I wouldn't want to ignorance. I know you, I don't want you to be willful ignorant about it. Now, it gets on to discuss spiritual. As it started discussing that. Now, listen to this. In chapter 14, it continued. It's the same teaching. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It flows from chapter 12 into 13 into 14. Did you get me?
Yes, sir.
So you shouldn't read chapter 14 outside chapter 12. No, it must flow together. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he now says desire spiritual. Again, in chapter 12, verse 41, verse 31, he says, desire, earnestly covet the best gift. Earnestly covet. That is the same word to zelo. Earnestly covet. Zelo. That word zelo is a word used for jealousy in the Greek. Z-E-L-L-O. Z-E-L-L-O. Zelo. It implies to be red hot. To be red hot. To be on alert. To be on alert. Pastor Shego will put it like this, say, to be on the edge. You are on the alert. You know, you don't just come to meet, say, hey, just normal believers, let me just come and sit there. Shebi just say, Shebi just say, glory. Just to keep on the college, don't worry. No. Never have that kind of thought. Hallelujah. Nobody is an expert. When it comes to spirit, there is no specialty. No. Hallelujah. You are red hot. Ready. That's why Paul would tell them. He would tell them, say, earnestly desire, covet, pursue love, and desire spiritual. Meaning he's telling them, be ready on alert. Be red hot. Create that hunger for it. Be on the alert, be on the lookout. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Why are you alert? Because we know in believers' meeting, all have to give, all have to receive. Everyone has something to give, everyone has something to receive. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you be on the alert, having your desire to be blessed. Having your desire to be blessed. Or to be a blessing. And to be a blessing to another. You have your desires. As I come for believers' meeting, I live with a mandate from heaven. I'm ready to receive all that is in store for me in this meeting. You know, you are red hot ready. You're not just going there and do brago. No. Hallelujah.
Amen.
No.
Glory to God.
This passion, see, you are passionate to receive. You are passionate to be imparted upon. You are passionate to be a blessing to another. Now, because of this passion, it should spur you to pray before such meetings. This passion should make you pray before such meetings. As I will know you are passionate, you pray before such meetings. You can take fasts. Go on fast because of such meetings. It is the hunger that will make you go on fast. You pray for such meetings. Hallelujah. You pray. You know, let me tell you something. You pray.
Hallelujah. It's not just prayer that you are observing emotions of God, but praying for believers' conversion is saying, so if you just pray that you go to the same land, it's not one but that's one.
No, no. Your desires. You know, when somebody desires or something, there's a way the person prays. Hallelujah. You could take a fast. Hallelujah. You could take a fast. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You could take a fast. Find time to pray in the course of the day. Your fasting and praying is a proof for your honor for such meetings. Fasting and praying is a proof that you honor such meetings. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to say, honor is an important virtue that must not be downplayed during believers' meetings. It must not be downplayed. You don't downplay it. No. Because you honor the meeting, you will pray. You will fast. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Honor. Look at Mark chapter 6, from verse 1 to 6. We begin to round up. Mark 6, for verse 1 to 6. Mark chapter 6, for verse 1 to 6.
And he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where is the wisdom which, I mean, where did this man gets these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him? And such mighty works are performed by his hand. Is this not the carpenter? They knew him. They knew his trade. They knew Jesus was a carpenter. And they said, yeah, don't be this carpenter, be this. Don't be a lawyer, be this. When they fix our nets.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They know him to his house.
Every moment you hear people do this. When they sell oil from a new market, they knew him to his house. Look at what happened. Let's go ahead. Is it not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simeon? Are his sisters not here with us? And they were offended. They were offended. They were what? They were offended.
And what did Jesus say? Verse 4, and Jesus said to them, a prophet is without honor at him, except in his own country, amongst his own relatives, and in his own house. Honor, or lack of honor, is a stealer or a robber of a man's receiving. Lack of honor is a stealer or a robber of a man's receiving. That word honor in John chapter 4 verse 44, Jesus repeated the same word. That word honor is from the Greek word timei. It implies to place value. To place value. It's used for money, for a price or a reward. To place value. As you approach a believer's meeting, first of all, the meeting itself. Listen. Listen. You must learn to understand that you must honor what God has placed his honor on.
You cannot say you're honorable when you don't honor what he has placed his honor on. Believers' meetings are meetings of believers. So you must honor the... Remember believers' conduct? We say what you must honor the gathering, right? You must honor the gathering. Go and get that message. That should be track 8. This is from track 1. You must honor the gathering. You must honor believers' gathering. You must do what? Honor believers' gathering. Very important. Because God's honor is on it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And how do you know you honor believers' gathering? You must be there on time. If you don't stroll in, a session is starting by 9 o'clock and you are strolling in 9 o'clock. No! It's not a good conduct. A service is starting by 8. You should be seated down 15 minutes before that time. You must be seated. Don't stroll in by that 8. It's not 8 o'clock. I got there 7:59. You are late. 7:59, no? Then you think you're early. You are late. That is honor. Honor. He says, is it not just here? My house is just here. No, that is not honor. Honor is you'll be there early. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In Romans chapter 12, verse 10, we should value believers. Never look down on believers. Never look down on believers. Never. In the local church. Never look down on believers. You cannot receive from who you do not honor. You cannot receive from a meeting you've not placed honor on. Honor, you see, whether you honor a meeting will be seen in what you say concerning that meeting before that time. And they go fellowship, George. I beg you. By that, they go, they pray. You can just enter, what's called do, you know? He shows you don't honor. You cannot receive from such a meeting. What is your hunger to prepare for a meeting? Why are you sitting down there today? Why are you here? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
The same way too, you must place value on believers. Why? Because the Spirit of God dwells in him or her. So God values the church. God values the believer. You must value the believer. It is in the local church that God achieved equality. In the local church is where God has achieved equality. In the local church, you know, equality has not, the economy has not achieved equality before. Man cannot achieve equality, but in the local church is where God has achieved equality. In the local church, we all have one thing in common. We all have one thing in common, and that is salvation. And that salvation is what is important. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Whether you are rich or you are poor, whether you have lands, you have cars, you have fleet of it, or you are a servant, or you don't even have a job, you don't have money, you are looking for the next need. Once we are together in the local church, there is no distinction between us.
Yes, sir.
We don't celebrate our jobs, we don't celebrate our money, we don't celebrate what we've had,
yes, sir,
or what we've accomplished in this world.
Yes,
but we celebrate one common thing, salvation. So it is believers' gathering. You must honor the believer, irrespective of who the person is. Whether he brushed or not, he did not put perfume. Is that your business? If he's in Christ, you are in Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you are in a believer, when you are among believers, and you begin to bring in age, watch it. You are dropping down honor. When you begin to bring in age, in a believer's meeting, there is no Amazona pastor. No. I'm Gio to God. No. Do you understand me? We all will see
we all have something to give. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's be on our feet. We all have something to give. Never allow age set in. Never allow age set in. Do you know how old I am? When that sets in, you are walking in His honor. When you are going for a believer's meeting, or in a gathering of believers, and it's time to minister one to another, and the next thing you need to look at is you don't have to be in this. Then, you don't know what it is, what it takes to honor. Hallelujah.
Why not lift your hands and thank Him? Just thank Him.